You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Sugary drinks, such as fizzy drinks, flavoured milk, and energy drinks, are a favourite for many children across the country. However, this consumption of high sugar drinks is proving harmful, with dental issues, heightened risk of diabetes, and other health issues tied to these drinks. Aside from this, sugary drinks are still readily available to children across Aotearoa New Zealand, even within their schools. This morning, the New Zealand Beverages Guidance Panel published a policy brief calling for the ban of sugary drinks from school grounds, prohibiting them from being purchased or brought by students into schools. So to learn more, I spoke to the University of Auckland's Dr. Gerhard Sunborn, a member of the New Zealand Beverages Guidance Panel, on the policy brief they released this morning calling for a ban on sugary drinks in schools. Kia ora, Dr. Gerhard Sunborn. So first of all, I guess, what are the harms that we're seeing with sugary drinks in schools? Dental issues and increased risk of diabetes seem the obvious ones, but are there any that you've been kind of surprised by or that might take people by surprise?
Yeah, other issues, but I suppose, you know, the most obvious one is issues around dental health and, you know, children having their first teeth and some of their permanent teeth damaged. You know, my wife is an oral health therapist, and she's seen preschoolers who've had, you know, half of their teeth have got caries in them. So that's the big one that we see in children straight away. But you know, like you said, there's high risk in children who drink a lot of sugary drinks of developing diseases like type 2 diabetes, but also later in life heart disease and things like gout. But one thing that also happens is having a lot of sugary drinks, it impacts children's learning and concentration and causes behavioural problems as well. So that's kind of well known around sugary drink intake as well.
So how even are the harms here? Are we seeing these health issues present quite evenly across communities, or are some better insulated than others?
Yes, so I think there is a trend, you know, those in with higher deprivation and areas of higher deprivation experience most of these poor health outcomes more so, and are more likely to consume more sugar and more sugary drinks. But the issues are that widespread that they impact all children in New Zealand and in all communities. You know, so we have, New Zealand has one of the third highest rates of childhood obesity as to do our adults. You know, so if you have obesity in childhood, you're more likely to have an adulthood. So some communities in around high deprivation experience it more so, but the impacts are across the board in the whole of New Zealand.
So the term sugary drinks seems kind of synonymous with fizzy drinks, but it includes far more than that, with flavoured milks being an example. Are there any sugary drinks that are currently kind of flying under the radar, so to speak?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's things like energy drinks and even flavoured waters that actually have a high percentage of sugar in them. And also to fruit juices, 100% fruit juices and fruit drinks, they have similar amounts of sugar in them compared to a fizzy drink. And in some cases, like apple juice, maybe even a little bit more sugar in them. And although they're not added sugars, they still have the same impact of rotting teeth and increasing risk of unhealthy weight, type 2 diabetes, and causing, you know, problems in concentration and learning. So yeah, it's not as simple as it seems in terms of, you know, what are, you know, is it just fizzy drinks that are sugar drinks? No, there's other drinks that are got high amounts of sugar in them as well.
Yeah, I mean, like when I was at high school, which is a little while ago now, we got an up-and-go vending machine with flavoured milk, which is, of course, marketed as kind of healthy or nutritious. What role does marketing play in how kids are interacting with sugary drinks?
Marketing is huge. You know, and some of the best marketers in business and industry are beverage companies. Yeah, and there's some obvious ones. Everyone knows, but yeah, marketing of these drinks is huge. It does influence behaviour and awareness, and it does drive up consumption. So yeah, I think we've got to be aware of those types of things. And there are rules and regulations around it, but it's quite hard to push against that type of stuff.
So within your policy brief, you've talked about banning sugary drinks from school grounds. Now, how effective would you consider this approach to be if no other kind of meaningful action has taken place outside of schools? So, for example, if there's like a dairy across the road that kids can go to after school to buy sugary drinks.
Okay, yeah. So ideally, it would be great if we could have greater influence on the environment, the broader environment, but that's difficult. But I think, by getting sugary drinks out of schools at least, it's a step in the right direction. And we know that children are in schools for around 6 hours a day, and so at least they're not going to be exposed to consuming sugar and high sugary drinks while they're at school. But also too, if you have a regulation or a policy implemented like this from government, it sends a clear message to the community, which is the parents, the kids, everybody, that these drinks are not good for children. So there's another added benefit that it raises awareness more broadly about sugary drinks not being good.
Right, so this is kind of like a step towards that maybe ultimate goal of greater reductions of sugary drinks in our communities.
And other mechanisms to try and reduce sugary drink intake are needed. We think things like a sugary drinks tax and better labelling, how many teaspoons of sugar are actually in that drink, would also help. But I think in the current environment, I think that this getting sugary drinks out of schools as a first step and an obvious step, I don't think any child should be encouraged to have a can of drink that has around 11 teaspoons of sugar in it at school, especially when there's alternatives that they can have. So I think this is a absolute obvious, and I think it's a no-brainer that we should get them out of schools as a first step and an important step.
Right, and what kind of government engagement are we seeing with this issue so far? Because I know that you've been, the New Zealand Beverage Advisory Panel has been putting out policy briefs for a while now. What kind of progress are we seeing being made by government?
Okay, yeah, so there's been a push for water-only schools, and we supported that as well. The previous policy brief we wrote, we had a symposium, a summit down in Wellington opposite Parliament, and the policy brief was about water-only schools. A lot of primary schools have gone water-only. We thought in 2023 there was a consultation under the previous government where they were looking at implementing and regulating properly around water-only schools, but unfortunately nothing happened. It fell over. And so I think this new policy brief, which is about sugary drinks for schools, it means that it's not just saying water only, because I think it makes sense. Primary schools are more open to having water only policies, but high schools it becomes more difficult. So the policy around sugary drink free schools will mean that low sugar and zero sugar drinks will be able to be consumed and they'll be acceptable in the schools, but they need to be low sugar. So it's kind of, I think it's more likely to be implemented. It's a more realistic policy that we could hopefully get through all schools.
Right, yeah, more of a kind of harm reduction than,
So, because it's the sugar in the drinks is what's causing the damage, mainly, in terms of dental caries and metabolic issues and behavioural things. So if we can get the sugar out of the drinks, that's the biggest harm. You know, it's a step in the right direction.
So I guess on that note of reduced sugar drinks, how would you characterise the industry engagement in this area? Because, I mean, often with other commercial determinants of health, harm reduction approaches may not be adopted with, you know, open arms, to say the least, thinking about, like, the concerted lobbying campaigns by alcohol and tobacco industries. So what kind of engagement have we seen with sugary drinks?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. And the thing is, industry ahead of government in this issue. And so since 2017, the New Zealand Beverage Council, who represent the majority of beverage industry here in New Zealand, they have a policy where they'll only sell, or their members will only sell water, bottled water, to primary schools, and they'll only sell they won't sell full sugar drinks to intermediate and high schools. So they have policy stopping the high sugar drinks getting into primary and secondary and high schools. But the thing is, it doesn't have a lot of impact because most school canteens and tuck shops, the people who operate those usually buy their drinks directly from supermarkets, not from the beverage companies. So these drinks still come in, you know. But you know, since 2017, industry have had policy to stop, you know, these drinks from getting into the schools. But on the flip side, you know, if a canteen operator brings them in, there's nothing to stop them from coming in from the educational or the Ministry of Health side, if you see what I mean. So I think if we could get this policy, sugary drink free schools, in place and regulated by government, it would mean that the government is kind of coming up to the same level as what industry are at now in terms of the policy that they already have.
That was the University of Auckland's Dr. Gohard Sunborn, a member of the New Zealand Beverages Guidance Panel, on the policy brief they released this morning calling for a ban on sugary drinks in schools.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.